Auckland's Radio.
And it's a good afternoon to Jez Ray from, and speaking in public is your business name. But tell me a little bit about you, because it's not just speaking in public, is it?
No, it's... imagine this, Danny. You're one of 260 voices on stage in the Dorking Halls. You're surrounded by an 85-piece orchestra, including 8 trumpets, performing the Verdi Requiem this coming Saturday, the 16th of April. It will take the roof off. It will be an experience that you just can't match anywhere else. It's fantastic.
It sounds wonderful. Although, you've just sadly told me the tickets are all sold out.
Yes.
No.
Well, not only is it the Verdi Requiem, it's also Brian Kaye's final performance as the conductor of the Lethal Festival before Jonathan Wilcox takes over. So everyone wants to hear what's going to be a very emotional evening one of the most magnificent pieces of music ever created. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That absolutely sounds amazing. How did you get into singing?
Probably like most people, I sang at school. I was in the school choir, as we all are for years, etc. But come the end of school, I stopped because work takes over. You have to go and get a job, and that's your driver for life. But somewhere in my mid-40s, many, many years ago, I was...
Not that many, I have to say.
60 next year, actually.
You don't look it.
Thank you. So somewhere in my mid-40s, I was allowed out one evening to when the kids were old enough, and I listened to a local choir and thought, I want to get back to that. So this is the route. If singing is something that you think, oh, maybe it'd be nice to do that, find a local unauditioned choir, and all choirs in the Lethal Festival have to be unauditioned. Then you can just creep your way in the back, rediscover the voice that you had as a youngster, and just find singing again.
Or didn't, but wanted to find it.
Well, I would challenge that. I can almost guarantee that someone in your childhood said, you can't sing, and that's resonated with you for all the years since.
And I never made the school choir.
Oh, no.
Weep. Sad. Never mind. But also, you do a cappella as well.
Yes, I'm privileged to be part of an a cappella sextet, which is six gentlemen of
my
vintage.
Sounds a bit racy,
actually. It does, doesn't it? But it's fantastic. We're six blokes. We sing covers of modern songs as well as some barbershop-type music. But I'm very privileged to be in a group where there are some brilliant musicians. There's a couple of twins who just compete against each other. And actually, one of my colleagues, Philip White, who's part of the Royal Academy, he and a chap called Andrew always turn up with a new arrangement of a song and just throw it in front of us.
Just like that.
Just like that. They've been working on it for weeks and they just casually toss it in front of us and we just have to sing it. So it's brilliant.
Oh, incredible. It's a bit like people outdoing each other with their cake baking skills, but except you're not singing that, you're eating it. So
exactly.
It's a bit different. So tell me, because you've gone from music, you're doing the choir, and music is clearly a passion. And music is also very good for other things, isn't it?
Yes. It's been in the news recently, actually, that it really helps your immune system. If you're part of a choir, it just helps you recover. There are several colleagues of mine who are recovering from quite serious things at the moment in the choir. And if you're concentrating on music for a couple of hours in a rehearsal, your mind can't be anywhere else. Mm. And you come out of that rehearsal just on cloud 9, having been rehearsing and singing and listening to glorious music.
There's a form of mindfulness, really, isn't it?
Yes.
And mindfulness seems to be huge everywhere at the moment.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about that. But not just good for the soul, but also good for your vocals, full stop. So in terms of singing, helping you to actually project your voice, because at the end of the day, that's what you do for your business, isn't it? You teach people. Tell me what you do.
I couldn't have asked for a better segue. Thank you very much. That's wonderful.
I tried.
Yeah. The skills that you pick up in singing or in acting are very much transferable to speaking in public as well. Imagine, and also take it into life requirements, like going for interviews or meeting people in networking events. Take the first impression. We all know that when you meet someone for the first time, you've got just a couple of seconds to create a first impression. A technique and a skill that can help with that, you can pinch from singing, which is How do you breathe? You've probably all seen, experienced, or heard speakers who come racing up to the front of the room, and they're like this when they get there, and I'm exaggerating slightly for the point of it, but they're out of breath by the time they get there. So your feeling about that person is, oh, for heaven's sake, will they please get that talk over? Or you're actually, rather than listening to what they're saying, you're empathising with them because you're just feeling for them and feeling sorry for them.
Feeling their nerves, yeah.
Whereas if that person can come up to the front of the room, take a deep breath, and just be more relaxed when they start, they project this feeling of confidence to you as the audience, and you're then much better placed to listen to what they're saying. And that same situation applies to going for an interview. Do you want to go in and be all rushed and panting and trying to get your words out and tumbling over to the person the other side of the desk? Or actually, do you just want to be more calm, more relaxed, and more impressive? So these skill sets that we work on in public speaking also translate to such as interviews, which is an essential life skill these days.
Absolutely. I wonder, I don't know how you feel, but do you think young people are taught enough about the skills of interviews and interview techniques? I know lots of schools these days do interview sessions. They get people from business to go in, and I've done it with my Rotary hat on before, and it's interesting to see the range of youngsters and how they're coping. But actually somebody like you giving them the skills to learn how to pronounce, to appear confident even if they're not,
yes,
and to not speak too fast.
I couldn't agree more. I'll give you a practical example if I can just blow a small trumpet just for a couple of seconds.
Blow away.
Okay, most of my work is with businesses, with teams of people in business. But earlier this year, a colleague asked me to work with his graduate daughter, who had the chance of a really, really good job in London. She was one of 900 applicants for three jobs.
Wow.
And had a whole day of presenting, of interviews, of standing up and talking to try and get through, to try and get to the last few for this job. Her dad, who knew me, said, can you help, Jess? Of course I will. So we spent a couple of hours working together, just building her skills, using the knowledge that she had with a presentation that she'd already put together, and she went off a lot more confident. And guess what? She got the job.
That's amazing.
The email that she sent me afterwards still makes me cry.
Wow.
But it just proves that today's youngsters are more focused on screen than on the interpersonal skills.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
If you can be, it's about being 10% better than the competition.
Yeah.
If you can ratchet down to the content of what you're trying to do, put some skills around it, and then come back and be 10% better, then you've got a chance of winning, and that's what it's all about.
And also, recently, the one thing you told me is to rehearse.
Yes.
When I did a networking event on your behalf, which I have to say, I did stand up and say, I feel a bit nervous doing about this, because Jez has amazing vocals, and it's a bit of a hard act to follow. However, and it is that thing of rehearsing, isn't it, what you're going to say?
Definitely. A maxim that was taught to me, I was thrown into public speaking competitions actually in 1979 when I was a young man in the bank, when I was too naive to know how to say no. But what we worked to at the time was every minute of a speech, you allowed a week's worth of preparation. So for a 7-minute speech, as it was, in front of judges, lights going off, really serious stuff, that was 2 months' worth of work to get to the point where you could deliver that with panache and try and win a competition. Now, in today's day, I mean, this is the time before even fax machines, in the days when business was just a telephone and a typewriter, that was it. Today, no one's got that time, but the principle still applies. If you rehearse, whether you're rehearsing speaking, rehearsing singing, you are getting your lips and mouth used to the words that you're going to say. So that when you stand up and talk, instead of a garbled rubbish coming out where the words don't come out properly, you've got this mental memory of the words you're going to be using. And that helps you stay on track whilst your brain's fighting for, what was I going to say next? So rehearse.
Yes. I was going to say, because you're actually creating neural pathways in your brain, aren't you, when you practice something?
Yes.
So actually, the more you rehearse, the more it kind of goes into your head, hopefully.
Exactly. And let's go back to what we just mentioned, that interview. What's going to be your opening line in the interview? How are you going to introduce yourself? Or you're going into a networking meeting and you've got to stand up and do 40 seconds, 60 seconds about yourself. 90% will stand up and say, good morning, I'm Fred, I run XYZ, this is what I do, this is how I can help you. why not say, how do widgets help your business? I can actually give you 10% more profit in what you're doing tomorrow by working with this particular bit of equipment, or something along those lines. Mm. Just to catch the attention. Or in my case, it's a case of, yeah, how does public speaking actually help you win more business? Before I even say, I'm Jez Ray, my business is speaking in public. Just something to catch the attention and be
it,
a bit different.
It is so true. I remember last year, actually, I went to a networking event and there was a guy there who stood up and he started by saying, I'm really rubbish at this. I was like, no, why have you said that? Because immediately he just lost all sort of credibility from the room.
Yes.
Straight away. Although he's a lovely, lovely guy, but straight away.
But he will be remembered forever as the guy who stood up and said, I'm rubbish at this. And that's the impression he's created.
I know, which is not good, is it? One of my bugbears, I have to say, is when people are going to an event and they are the main speakers at an event and they're given a microphone, but they don't use it properly, and you still can't hear them.
Couldn't agree more. Microphone techniques. If you've got a microphone in front of you, learn how it works. Is it a directional one where you have to turn it actually to face your mouth and talk into it? Because so many people will just hold it under their chin, won't they? And just it picks up all the sound around it. One of the key things that I learnt when doing speaking and for keynote speeches, etc., is you want to arrive at the venue in really good time. And you want to check it out, you want to try that mic, see how it works in an empty room. Rehearse, rehearse, rehearse.
That's brilliant. Jez, thank you so much. As ever, you always give amazing and useful tips. So if people want to find out more about your business, how can they do that?
The simplest thing to do is just Google Jez Ray. That's G-E-S, then Ray, R-A-Y. Google Jez Ray. I'm the only one you'll find. Or Jez Ray Speaking in Public, and there you'll find me. I'm on Twitter, at Jez Speaking. I've also got a website, which is speakinginpublic.info. Email address is jez.ray@speakinginpublic.info, and an old-fashioned phone call, 0794-108-3722. Easiest thing, Google Jez Ray, and you'll find me through a myriad of contact points.
And if you were going to say the three top tips to someone about public speaking or networking or doing an interview, what would those be?
The key things would be the overarching instruction would be about engaging with your audience or the people you're working with. And the three top things for me would be breathing, so that you look and appear confident and relaxed, and do two things that you would normally do when you meet someone in a cafe. Engage with your eyes and smile. Be a normal human being when you meet them, either face-to-face or in interview, or when you stand up on stage to greet your audience.
Jez, that's brilliant. Jez Ray from Speaking in Public, thank you once again for a great interview. Brooklyn's Radio.